Welcome, Hog fans, into the basketball podcast of Mid-America. I'm Blake Sutton from Whole Hog Sports. I'm here with Scotty Bordelon from Whole Hog Sports. We went on a little bit of a holiday hiatus. Haven't done one of these in a while, but we are back inside the Arkansas Union, and we're ready to get this podcast back on track.
We took
a little time off, but you know, there was like a week between games a lot of times, and so sometimes we didn't do one because it was like, well, that last game's old news and the next game isn't until a week from now.
Non-conference schedule was so funky because I think Bob wrote a story. It was like, you got one game over like a two-week span. Like they played Saturday, Friday, Saturday, or they went Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday, Friday over their last four games. And then you go back another week and it was another Saturday game. So there's lots of time between games and the schedule was just a little bit wonky.
It never really got into a routine with the non-con, but we are about to get into a routine with conference play starting on Saturday at Texas A&M, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But what we'd like to do first is kind of just do a general recap of the non-conference schedule. Arkansas still has one more non-con game at Texas Tech later this month, but
that's going to be a really tough game. Yeah. Texas Tech's really, really good.
They are good this year, yeah. Arkansas finished its this stretch of the non-conference season 9-3. Easily could have been 11-1. Easily could have been 12-0 and in the top 25 right now. A lot of missed opportunities.
You foul at the end of regulation and you know how to play like you carry the practice against a 2-3 zone into a game and you might be undefeated in conference. I mean, it's like that you're that close.
And they'd be undoubtedly in the top 25 right now if they were 12-0. I mean, how could you keep them out? But
those three losses by a combined 7 points.
Yeah, 7 points from being undefeated. So yeah, that Texas game, you know, there was a lot of talk about that. You should have fouled at the end of regulation, or you know, a few seconds before that, if Daniel Gafford makes one more free throw, Arkansas has a 4-point lead with like 9 seconds left, and so that would have put it out of range too.
I always go back to Arkansas, I think, got a defensive stop when they were up three or four. Arkansas inbounds, they get a defensive stop. But Texas airballs, like they force Kerwin Roach into a really tough shot, a long two, which is you wanted that. You didn't want him to get to the rim. Mason did a really good job. Mason Jones contested that shot really well. The ball lands on the inline. So it's your ball with 37 seconds left, and then Arkansas throws the ball in to the corner.
Yeah.
And Mason tries to throw. He's got a couple teammates around him, but he tries to throw it to half court to Dan for some reason, and then that's kind of where it fell apart. And
yeah.
Like, the free throws were a big deal, but you're a pressing team. You should know how to beat the press. You know, like people say that pressing teams don't like to be pressed. And I think that was just youth. That was just youth, and not they haven't been in that position before. Showed a little bit of their youth. I always go back to that turnovers. That's when things kind of changed a little bit.
Because then didn't Texas get a three on that possession, or they got another bucket right after that, right?
I think they got a couple of free throws.
Arkansas
Adrio fouled. Bailey swatted the hell out of a shot, and then ball went right to a Texas guy, and then Dan fouled. And I think they either split or made two free throws to cut the lead a little bit, and then I think Arkansas makes one free throw, and then the three ties it and sends it to overtime. So
what might have been, that would have been a great way to start the season, but Arkansas quickly got over that Texas loss, and then they went on to win six in a row. And so when that happened, before the Western Kentucky game, when Arkansas was on that six-game win streak, you had a lot of people saying, man, this team is so young, but they're so far ahead of where we thought they would be. They're exceeding expectations. They look really good. We're saying, you know, if they foul against Texas, they're undefeated right now. And that Colorado State game, I mean, I think that might be the best game they played all year. I remember watching that on TV, and I'm thinking, wow, this team, they had like 28 assists or something like that.
Yeah.
Beat Colorado State on the road by like 24 points, 25 points. And they looked really, really good. And then they get to that Western Kentucky game. And I think what happened is, you know, A lot of folks have been saying this as well. They read their press clippings. They thought they were a lot better than they really were.
Yeah, Mike said that too. He said sometimes – I wrote about it too. Sometimes the worst thing that can happen for a young team is you get success and then you get the pat on the back telling you how good you're playing. And, you know, like I wrote about in that story that I wrote too after the Western Kentucky game, I mean, they had a lot of reason to be pretty high on themselves. Like that Florida International game.
Yeah.
scored 121 points.
Right.
So you had your best – Arkansas had its two best offensive games back of the season back-to-back. Like, they averaged almost 1.3 points per possession against Florida International, over 94 possessions, which is absurd. yeah. Isaiah Joe goes berserk and hits 10 threes.
Right.
And then you think the offense's role in that game, they had their – I think it was the second-best night in terms of offensive efficiency – under Mike in Mike Anderson's tenure, they scored like I think their offensive efficiency rating was 139.1, which is tied for second best under Mike, which is it was incredible. Like, they shot the ball really well.
That was the Colorado State game.
Yeah, Colorado State. And you know, like, we talked about it too earlier, like, both of Arkansas's best games offensive efficiency wise have been on the road. Like, that was that was really impressive for a young team, and they shared the ball so well, they shot it so well. And aside from like the 17-2 run I think Colorado State had in the second half, they dominated that game from on both ends of the floor. Mason got them started with some threes early, and they just kind of slowly just made shots and got stops. And that was one of the big things from, especially from the whole non-conference in general, was their defense was pretty solid.
Yeah.
Like, I think the defense only slipped up. You could honestly say that the defense only slipped up one time. It was against Western Kentucky. Like, they scored 78 points. Like, your other loss, like, against Texas, you hold them to, like, two of – I can't remember what it was. I think 19% shooting in the second half, which lets you get back into it. The Georgia Tech game, you give up 69 points. That's not bad either.
Yeah.
That's not bad either. Most games you're beating a team if you hold them to 69 points, but your offense was just hot garbage that game. Couldn't shoot your way out of a paper bag against the zone. Adrio, I think that was kind of the beginning of the decline for Adrio too, which hurt because you were used to – I think in November he was averaging like a career best 11 points a game.
Right.
And then last month he scored around three a game and shot the ball like miserably.
Well, and in – the losses to Western Kentucky and Georgia Tech, he had a total of 0 points.
Right, that's not good. Not good.
When you have a guy that's averaging 11 points a game and he scores zero and you lose by 1 point, that's just got to be frustrating.
That's a little bit of the difference is you're used to getting that production from him, and when it's not there, you're suddenly looking for somebody off the bench. And Reggie Chaney, I think, did a pretty good job in the non-conference stepping up.
Yeah.
He had a really up and down. When was his first start against Texas State?
It was Texas State. Yeah.
Really up and down, but you still saw flashes too. Like, he still finished with like 8 and 7 or something like that in that game. But he had five turnovers. I think several of them were early. But you saw potential with him throughout the non-conference, and you saw flashes from several different guys. Desi Seals had a really good month of December to close out non-conference, and he kind of hit a stride, especially towards the beginning of the month. I think he had like at least 6 points in like their first five or six games, and peaked at 9 a couple of times, and his assist numbers have been pretty solid. He cuts down on the turnovers. I think he's really going to be a big part of the rotation. And part of one other thing, I know I'm kind of rambling, but like, I did the December wrap up. Him and Dan were the best two player pairing for the month of December. They were really good. Offense was, I think Arkansas scored like 1.12 points per possession in December. When Desi and Daniel shared the floor, it was like 1.14, 1.15. Mm-hmm. So it was a little bit up from the norm or from the team clip, and the defense was pretty solid, averaging, I think they're giving up less than a point per possession, which was really good.
Yeah.
The defense was stout throughout non-conference, just if you could get your offense going, like if you get another bucket from one other guy or just shoot decently against the zone, you're looking maybe at one loss in non-conference. You're going into conference play with maybe a different feeling, and maybe teams around the league are feeling a little bit different about you.
So what you're saying is maybe Arkansas is flying under the radar heading into conference
under the
play.
Radar.
But yeah, well, I mean, there may be something to that. If Arkansas was 11-1 in the top 25 right now, you might get a little better game out of Texas A&M on Saturday, but
I think they're a little bit dangerous, because I don't know outside of Dan, if Dan and Jalen and Isaiah, the teams really know what to expect, because some guys have been so up and down. Like, Adrio had a really good start and then kind of fell off. Keyshawn Embry-Simpson had a good game against Colorado State. He missed his next 6 threes over the next 4 games, and then all of a sudden he goes for 14 again.
Hot and cold.
Yeah, it's and Isaiah even had stretches like that, and Jalen did too. And Dan's been the most consistent thing that Arkansas's had. Like, he averaged a double-double last month. I don't think anybody besides me is talking about it. Like, they just think he's playing too soft sometimes, and some of the guys that he's been matched up with have beat him head to head. But I mean, he's been the most consistent thing you've had. His blocks are up, turnovers are down, free throw shooting's a little bit better.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know what a lot of teams are going to be expecting. I know coaches are going to be like, hey, this is a really young team, but they're dangerous. Like, if we take them lightly, then they could punch us in the mouth. But that's coaches. Like, that doesn't mean that it's going to translate to players. So they could be a dangerous team in that way, I think.
Well, Arkansas starts conference play against the Aggies on Saturday, starting SEC play on the road. Last year, I think they had Tennessee at home for the first conference game.
Yeah, that game was lit.
Yeah, that was pretty incredible atmosphere. So Arkansas finishes up its non-conference schedule 9-3. They start SEC play at Texas A&M on Saturday. We just talked to Daniel Gafford and Mike Anderson a moment ago. They had a press conference up in the Basketball Performance Center. You said Gafford had some things to say. What did he have to say about the young guys?
Yeah, like, I think the obvious thing that Daniel was going to get asked today was, it's like, you've been through the league before and you've dealt with the physicality when I think people kind of questioned whether you were ready for it or not. And Arkansas's got several guys that play alongside him or behind him that are kind of in that same boat now.
Yeah.
Like, Reggie had a pretty good non-conference, but it's different. Like, that's what Dan said. Like, the first thing that he remembers was the first game against Tennessee. Like, the physicality was so different than what it was in non-conference. And I mean, that was against Tennessee. Like, you had Kyle Alexander, you had the eventual conference player of the year, Grant Williams, and Admiral Schofield. Like, those dudes will beat you up. They'll beat you up physically. And his first run to the league, I think he found out pretty quick that he had to be tougher. And January was kind of a rough month for him last year. Like, I wrote last week that Dan, he kind of peaked in February last year when he figured out the physicality and what he had to do to kind of prepare himself for conference games. And Gabe, I asked Mike about this, maybe kind of whispered it to him because he didn't hear it. It made Nate Allen laugh, the jerk. But Gabe is kind of in a different – I mean, he's in a different boat than he was last year. Like, he was not expected to do anything last year.
Yeah.
He was kind of like – end of game situations, didn't play at all, and now he's like, we knew that his role was going to expand this year just because it kind of had to, and now he's going to be counted on to be productive in league play.
Yeah.
And last year, really the only run that he got in league was against, you know, it was that stretch last year, I think it was against Vanderbilt, South Carolina. Those are two teams toward the bottom of the league, and he kind of got some seasoning there, but he's not been through the whole conference schedule before where he's being counted on for production in a sense. And so that in a way is new for him, and that's going to be a new challenge for him. And it's Reggie's first trip through the league. And Dan said he thinks he's prepared. Thinks Reggie's prepared. We mentioned how solid he was in conference play when he was really decisive. He caught the ball and either went at the rim or he was blocking shots defensively. You know, Dan and Reggie played really well side by side.
Yeah.
We're probably going to see a lot of that in conference play. And, you know, this is Adriano's third time through, and so you need to see need to see something from him.
Right.
From him. He's got to be a leader, and he's got to be productive. And I looked at his past history in January. Like, when you hit conference play, he's not very good. He's not been very good in January. I think it's his lowest scoring output per month in his career is January. I think he's averaged like one, like a little over a point per game in conference. Yeah. He's been here 2+ years, and he's only played in 13 conference games, which tells you he's played in less than half.
Mm.
So,
you need your veteran player to play like a veteran
play like you've been there before. Yeah. That's what you've got to have that. For sure, especially when you've got so much inexperience, like in your front line. Like, the front line is going to be so big because, I mean, rebounding is such a big part of this game, especially a big part of conference play. And you're going to be playing a lot of pretty good bigs, throughout conference play. So those guys are the front line guys are who I'm really going to be watching, especially early, just to see if they are ready for it. But we'll see. But Reggie and Gabe and Adrio have to be big, and they have to be solid compliments to Dan for sure.
Well, we talked a little bit about this earlier, but you know, Mike's at the point in his tenure where he's there's a lot of people that want a new coach. They want to fire Mike. Anytime Arkansas loses a game, they're talking about firing the coach. But you look at the Western Kentucky game and the Georgia Tech game. Arkansas lost those by a combined 5 points, and Adrio had 0 points, and he's your most veteran player. It's like, at some point, you have to expect your most veteran player to be able to make a layup
and not
miss a dunk. And
I think there's something to be said, too. Like, I think it may have been Greg White, who's a really good coach at Bentonville West. Like, and it goes for, like, college football coaches, college baseball coaches, whatever. You can coach guys to do things. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean they're going to do it.
Right.
And, like, a lot of a coach's success or failure depends on whether an 18, 19, 20-year-old kid makes a shot or not.
Right.
And that's hard. Like,
oh, yeah.
That's hard for Mike. Because Mike, and I believe him when he says they work on zone stuff and practice a lot. Doesn't mean it's going to carry over to games, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of that is just on the players to execute. And
absolutely.
I think that needs to be understood. This is a young team, and sometimes young guys are going to do what they're told not to do in certain instances, and especially when they're in situations they hadn't been in before. Like, they kind of revert back to what's easy, and they can kind of get complacent or settle a little bit.
I got into this discussion with the person, and I mentioned that Adrio was averaging 11 points a game, and then he went 0-for in Western Kentucky game and Georgia Tech game. This guy said, well, Mike should have recruited a better player, so it's still Mike's fault that Arkansas lost those games. And it's like, come on, man. It's like,
not
was
Mike's
it
Mike's fault that Adrio's missing shots?
Yeah.
Like, well, it could be his fault that he's leaving him out there as long.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we saw Mike make adjustments and put Reggie in. Like, he's trying, he's doing what he can.
Yeah.
He's doing what he can to try to better the team, but sometimes it comes down to execution, man. Like,
yeah.
A lot of it is, do you make shots? Do you grab rebounds? And if the players don't grab rebounds, that falls on Mike. And you know, Mike tells the guys to rebound. It's just sometimes they're not doing it.
A lot of it's
execution.
And do you give Mike credit for Adrio averaging 11 points a game through the first 7 or 8 games?
No.
No, it's just like, great job, Adrio. And then he can't make a layup.
Adrio's doing a lot of it on his own. And I know Adrio probably is he did do a lot of work on his own. He told us earlier in the year that, you know, he was like, I know there are people are out partying and stuff, but I'm in the gym until really early in the morning getting shots up. Like, he's doing his own thing. Like, players should do that.
Yeah.
Some of that is on player accountability. I'm with you on that. It does fall. Execution's a really big part, and sometimes Mike can tell guys to do things, but it doesn't mean it's always going to play out that way.
And
does Mike get credit for Isaiah Joe? Or is Isaiah Joe just great?
And yeah.
Mike just cherry picked a kid out of his backyard because the kid wanted to come to Arkansas. You know, like,
that's how it usually goes with in-state guys.
Yeah.
With
does he get credit for Jalen
Harris?
Does he get credit for Jalen Harris too?
Right. Well, the haters, quote unquote, I'm doing air quotes right now for the listeners who can't see me. Seems like any time Arkansas has a good player that's from Arkansas, Mike doesn't get credit for recruiting him. It's just that, that guy always wanted to be a Razorback, and he would have been a Razorback no matter who the coach was.
Yeah, it's easy. It's easy to say that.
But when an in-state guy leaves, that's Mike's fault for not recruiting him hard enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, he can't win with some folks. But this is, what, year 8?
Year 8.
I do think he needs to make the tournament this year. That's looking with those losses to Western Kentucky and Georgia Tech, that's going to be kind of a tall order. If they were 11-1 going into conference play, the odds look a lot better. Next year will be big because Hunter Yurecek didn't hire Mike. I don't think he has the same kind of loyalty that Jeff Long had to Mike Anderson. I think he'll have a much shorter leash with Hunter Yurecek. And
Dan will be gone.
Right.
Dan will be gone. Who do you get as a replacement
right.
for him? That's going to be a big deal because they may have to go out and get two bigs.
Yeah.
For next year to kind of fill that void. We'll see.
Yeah, we may be getting a little ahead of ourselves, but we will go ahead and talk about SEC play. So Arkansas starts SEC play at A&M on Saturday. A&M 6-5, not a great record, just lost to Texas Southern. Big picture, though, Arkansas is currently 9-3. I really think, they need to go 11-7 in conference play to even have – you know, a shot at making the NCAA tournament.
I think the 21 mark is what you want to hit.
Right.
Like that,
before
that's when
SEC
you would feel
tournament.
Comfortable. Yeah, it's like if you go I think if you get to the SEC tournament with like 17, 18 wins, dude, you've got to make a run.
Right.
And still, like, if you don't win the conference title,
right,
and get the automatic bid, then, I mean, you're going to be – you might host a game in Bud Walton NIT. Like,
yeah.
That might be your postseason play.
Hosting the NIT. And, yeah, I mean, what might have been.
Yeah.
You know?
And we're looking at the schedule. Texas A&M is probably about as good of a draw maybe for the first game as Arkansas could have asked for, maybe. Like, going to A&M playing in Reed Arena is tough, as Arkansas has done that quite a bit in the past, and it hasn't gone particularly great. I think they won there a couple of years ago, really tight game. Like, the game was in the 60s. Like, it barely got to the 60s. Yeah. But we're looking at Arkansas's KenPom page. Texas A&M is ranked 98th in KenPom. Mm. So they're the KenPom number 98 team. The next team Arkansas plays outside of the KenPom top 50 is – what, 3 weeks from now?
Missouri.
Against Missouri. They're 75th. Mm. And so
tough stretch
that,
coming up.
That stretch is really hard. And I was looking at the schedule the other day, like your home games. I think your home games, you've got one Saturday game. I think you've got one Saturday game this month at home. Mm. That's tough.
Yeah.
And you've got Florida coming in, who's going to be a good team. They're 17th, according to KenPom. They're coming in on Wednesday. That's a prime time that Arkansas loses. That's a prime time for Arkansas to lose a game. That's when they lost their home games last year, I think, in conference play. Where at home, anyway, was, I think, LSU was like a Tuesday or Wednesday night.
8 p.m. game.
Yeah, 8 p.m. games. Weather may have been a little bit bad for that, too. But I think January schedule is pretty tough just because you've got one Saturday home game. That's when Arkansas kind of likes to Arkansas plays at showcase basketball on Saturdays at home when the crowd can be there and be rowdy and kind of be a sixth man in a way.
Right.
You got a Wednesday home game against a really good team, and then you go to Tennessee, who's probably – I think them and Kentucky are probably picked to win the league. And then you go to –
Tennessee's elite this year.
Yes,
they look really good.
Really good. They're very good. They've beaten Gonzaga already.
Yeah.
They're tested.
And they passed the eyeball test. They look really good.
I mean, they had a guy win SEC Player of the Year last year. He's coming back. He's back.
Yeah.
Admiral Schofield's back. Like, all their guards are back. They've got tremendous guard play.
Yeah.
They're going to be really good. You got them on the road within the first 2 weeks.
That's tough. That's a tall order.
That's really tough. So, like, you're starting off in a semi-favorable position, but after that, like
– Yeah. Yeah, I was looking at the conference schedule a few days ago, and there's two times during the conference schedule where I think Arkansas only has one home game, like over a 2 week stretch.
That's really tough.
That happens two different times, I believe. I'd have to take a closer
look
at it.
Yeah, it's the Tennessee, Mississippi on the road, and then Missouri at home on a Wednesday, and then you got to go to Texas Tech on a Saturday. That's going to be a really trying stretch.
That's three out of four games all on the road. It's going to be
tough.
And then
you cap that four-game stretch with possibly the toughest team that you'll play all year,
right,
Texas Tech. So that's really tough. And Texas Tech played Duke really tough.
Yeah.
What was it, Madison Square Garden or Brooklyn or somewhere a couple weeks ago? Mm-hmm. Chris Beard's a fantastic coach. And I remember when Texas Tech was playing Duke so tough, our message board was like lighting up with, wow, Chris Beard's a great coach. And so that game's going to be really tough. Texas Tech's really good. And then you kind of end January with Georgia at home. They're KenPom top. They're ranked 100th according to KenPom. Looking through some of these other teams, LSU's top 40. Vandy's 61. South Carolina's 124. So South Carolina is possibly a game that you could maybe steal on the road.
Yeah.
If you do things well, shoot the ball well, rebound. South Carolina is going to be tough. Like, you just have to be tougher than them. I think you can.
Yeah.
And that's hard because Frank Martin's teams are always really tough, but they're not always uber talented. Like, they're not always very talented.
Well, now that I'm looking at the schedule, it appears that throughout the entire SEC schedule, Arkansas only has back-to-back home games one time. That's next week, Florida and LSU. And then they don't have back-to-back home games the rest of the season.
Yeah.
It's going to be –
this team's going to get tested.
Yeah.
Like, we'll see what – it's easy to say, but we'll see what they're made of pretty fast, because the first month of the schedule is
– Yeah.
I mean, you're bookended with some favorable, semi-favorable away games. And a winnable home game, but then February starts with LSU, Vandy, Good thing you get Vanderbilt at home, because Vanderbilt's looking pretty solid. And then Auburn's waiting down there at the end of February. They're Ken Pom top 12. Kentucky's 13. Ole Miss, Vandy, Alabama, they're all top 65 teams as of now to close out the schedule.
Yeah.
So the schedule's pretty tough.
Looks pretty tough. And just looking at it right now, it's a long season, but for me, it's kind of hard to imagine Arkansas making the NCAA tournament with the way that the non-conference schedule went and the way that their SEC schedule just kind of sets up.
So we'll say that Ken Pom is predicting Arkansas to go 8-10 in league and finish 18-13.
Right.
Which, that's the position that we were talking about. You're really, you feel real iffy, and you're probably looking at NIT berth if you don't make a run in the conference tournament. And that's really far down the road, but I mean, that's kind of a realistic look at it.
Yeah.
Ken Pom's got Arkansas beating LSU at home, Missouri at home, Georgia at home, Vandy at home, South Carolina on the road, A&M at home,
Ole Miss at home,
and Alabama at home. So they're not expecting Arkansas to win but one game on the road.
Yeah.
So if you can – I mean, you've always – Mike said it today, you've got to steal games away from home against teams that are of, like, equal talent than you, and your stars have to show up. And so that's why I think Texas A&M is a pretty big game, because, like, if they could get back to the feeling of how they were playing maybe in late November, and you have a really good showing on the road to open conference play, and you get some good production from guys, you could have that really good feeling about yourself going into Florida. And if you win that game at home, like that's a good game to have at home.
You win that.
You could be feeling pretty good, and then you got another home game following that against LSU, who's a pretty good team. So you could start stacking wins early. It doesn't mean – I mean, you can't let up, but I mean, that would be a pretty solid start.
And that would really change the outlook for the rest of the season if Arkansas could win these first
going
two,
into a big road game
games.
Yeah, at Tennessee.
Well, it's a long season, and we will be here every week covering it with the basketball podcast of Mid-America, usually be every Thursday.
Back for good, hopefully.
Yeah, our holiday hiatus is over. We're going to be doing this throughout the season, and maybe we'll see what happens, maybe through March. And who knows?
You might do
who
an NIT tournament preview.
Yeah.
Or an NCAA tournament preview. However,
yeah, who knows? Hey,
look at it.
Hey, it's a long season. You never know how it's going to shake out. It's college basketball. Anything can happen. And we'll be here to cover it for you every week. But for Scotty Bordelon, I'm Blake Sutton. This is the Basketball Podcast of Mid-America. We're inside the Union on campus at the University of Arkansas. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.